house and just keep it. It basically is stuck to your house. But this one I have for my apartment. So you have to remember that sodium fluoride is the additive to ostensibly to prevent tooth decay, but you drink it and it goes past your tooth into your body. It's not. It's different than the real fluoride that they put in the toothpaste.
It goes past my one tooth.
Yeah, your tooth. It's a brain dulling and pineal gland calcifying toxin, and the Nazis fed that to the concentration camps to subdue prisoners. This is
this is what you're drinking,
and this is in the municipal water supplies of many municipalities, except for Western Massachusetts, where we just went through the other day and stopped in Townsend, Mass. Mm-hmm. Or was it Townsend?
You live up there,
Adams.
It was on the way to Adams. Yeah. It was near Greenfield, and the restaurant said this is our water. It's from the natural aquifer. And I said, what do you mean the natural aquifer? And she said, yes, we're very proud of this aquifer because Coke and Pepsi and everybody wanted to buy this water to bottle it, and we wouldn't let them because we wanted to drink it. And there's no additives to this water, so we're very proud of it. And I was like, wow, that's great. How come?
And it was only $8.
Well, it was free while we were in the restaurant. But that's something that is not a given. You don't have to have fluoride in your water supply. You don't have, well, sorry.
No, you do
sodium
now.
Sodium fluoride. You don't have to have sodium fluoride. It's actually what it is it's a toxin that is created as a byproduct of creating fertilizer. Mm-hmm. If you use nitrogen fertilizer, if you create nitrogen fertilizer, the byproduct is sodium fluoride. So the big companies that make fertilizer have all this leftover waste, and they can't just pour it in the local river because that would be against the EPA. So they got them to
write it in little bits.
So they got them to write a rule that allows them to get rid of it some other way. And so people are buying it from them. They're buying their waste and putting it in your water supply because it actually has an effect that is in the interests of certain people to calcify your pineal gland. All these other there's a lot of other chemicals in water that cannot be detected or filtered economically at the municipal level, like, for example, SSRIs and Prozac are in your water, but you can't filter that out or even like the old pipes in your house. So the best thing is to get the full-on water filter that will filter all that stuff out. And the one I have is the two-stage. I believe the Queen of England uses it. It's got a black ceramic filter first, and then on the inside of that is a core of carbon, of black carbon, activated carbon charcoal. And then that goes through the PF1 arsenic filter, which also filters the fluoride, and I think it's diatomaceous earth, but it could be other things. I don't know exactly what it is, but anyway, it really works. I noticed when I first started to drink this completely filtered water, for about two, 3 weeks, things started to feel different. My body was fixing itself again.
You sure it wasn't a placebo?
Well, again, no. How can you know?
You will never know.
Other people have.
The world will never know.
No. And, at this time, I have to say, this is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford.
Oh, wait, you guys need to start talking.
Wait, let
more.
Me see it. Let me say it by myself.
She's asleep.
91.5 FM WMFO Medford. And my show runs every Friday this summer from 6 to 8 p.m. Today is a special live show in the studio here on the lovely campus of Tufts University in Medford, Massachusetts. Now, and then, of course, the rounding out, you've got to exercise a lot and sleep a lot.
Don't forget to take Geritol every day.
Go to bed early. Who cares what the internet's doing? It'll be there in the morning. You're never getting to the end of the internet.
Never.
The internet is infinite, so stop. Stop looking at it.
Falling asleep with the TV on causes strokes now. And so does being happy when you pass your exams in the UK. What else does? Coffee causes you heart attack, too. Don't forget that.
Coffee?
Yeah.
No!
Those are the latest headlines in the last week. Sleeping causes strokes.
Oh.
Drinking coffee causes strokes. Being too happy causes strokes.
Oh, but only
trying
if you've
to stroke
been...
one out causes strokes.
But only. The strokes cause strokes when they play a concert. Well, let's go to the next part. This one will be interesting because I have a audio clip, and let's see if I can play it. I don't know
any
if
the other
this
crypto coins that
oh,
they
I
would
can't
attempt
hear it.
To do some sort of
is that,
digital currency.
Is that you?
Do you think that
oh,
is that you?
Not me.
Oh, that's
listening to Joe Rogan.
I'm Joe Rogan.
Somebody's
I bought
talking.
Crypto.
Huh.
Do you know anything about crypto?
Yes, I have some.
Do you know how to? Can you show me how to put it in a wallet?
You don't need a wallet unless you're going to give it to somebody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why'd you buy it?
I have a
Because somebody told me to buy it.
Okay.
You have a wallet?
Yeah.
Why'd you
buy
it?
And it goes very nicely with your bag.
Yeah. But Beverly, you have... Becky, you have some, right?
No, I sold mine.
Oh, you sold yours?
I sold mine.
Lucky duck.
Oh, I know. I timed the market.
Oh, it'll come back. Buy some more.
No.
It's the next wave.
What is it? What is it? That's the thing.
What do you mean? You bought it? You have no idea what it is?
I did. I mean, I fell into the whole hype.
Mm-hmm,
and
me
then
too.
I looked and tried to read about it. I was like, I don't understand this thing. And that's the thing. If you don't understand it, then you have no business buying it.
No, sometimes that's the best time to buy it because you don't, if you don't know that much about it, the more you get into it. A friend of mine started doing crypto like 15 years ago or whatever when it first came out. And he got so into it at one point that he was like scrolling his phone. Oh, this guy to do this. And it caused him to lose his hair. And because he was unemployed.
No, but that's my thing. Like the people.
Whatever
who,
it is, whether it's the crime.
Go ahead.
The people who bought it, like there's companies that have. Let me go back. What is it pegged on? Because the whole idea is we don't
want... It's a decentralized system. It's a total opposite of a bank. You put your money mm-hmm. in the bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go to your bank, you take the money out.
Mm-hmm.
With crypto, it's everybody's in the bank, and you put your money in, and if you want to take it out, then you can take it out. You don't need to have a permission of the bank. The more people there are, the bigger the more people that are in one bank versus the other bank versus the other bank versus mm-hmm. the other bank,
mm-hmm.
the more... power you have, and to a certain point, you as a group can do something together, whatever it is. If you want to fund, if somebody wants to, I want to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to that bank. I'm going to this bank. Why? Because mm-hmm. I know these people, even if I've never met them before. I've seen what they purchase. I see what they do. But I want to purchase from them to give them more power, and for me to have not be affiliated with a bank.
But what's wrong with the bank?
The banks are going under.
It's centralized. So
banks are centralized around the world.
Yeah.
And they're controlled by two or three, if that.
But
China's
they do
having
work.
A boatload of stuff with the bank, the mortgage company, mortgages right now. What's that?
But they work.
No, they don't, because 2008, that was actually the housing market. But banks, it's almost like a domino effect. If one loses valuation around the world, it goes around the world.
But the whole thing is, what is it pegged on? Because my problem
crypto
is, because they still peg it on the dollar.
Right.
Why do they do that? Like, why
because
don't you just create their own currency?
Because that's the universal currency.
Exactly. But the dollar is controlled by the Fed, or by the Treasury.
But which isn't part of the government either.
Mm-hmm.
The Federal Reserve is not part of the federal government. It is an entity unto itself. That's why the central bank, that's why banking, centralized banking is it's not really a threat.
Let's say if they decided to print more money,
which they've been doing for the last 3 years,
and then you've been losing money without, like,
so when I see
it's not an asset,
but they still clean
liability.
It up eventually.
They're not cleaning it up this
That's
time.
That's what inflation
it's too
is.
Big.
It's cleaning it up.
No, it's not.
That's what it
no.
is.
No, it isn't. They're not cleaning it up. They just printed more. Yeah, they whatever this bill is, inflation, whatever. They just they're spending more money to try to get to reduce. Spending more money.
No. Inflation was created this time around.
Right.
It was created because in the past 2 years, 40% of all the dollars that have ever been printed, ever
printed
in history, were printed in the last two
right.
years.
Trillion.
40% of all the money printed was printed in the last 2 years. And you might know about what happened to Germany after World War One.
Or Zimbabwe.
They printed tons and tons of dollar bill, Deutschmarks, at the time. And by the after 1 year, there was 1,000,000% inflation. And it took a wheelbarrow full of 100 Deutschmark, no, $100 bills to buy a loaf of bread. And the economy just tanked. And that is, this time around, is why inflation has happened, because they printed so much money. And
they just allocated another 480 whatever to whatever they're calling the bill, inflation reduction bill.
So tell me, how does crypto help all this? How does crypto help?
Oh, totally
help?
Separate. No. Totally
okay.
separate systems. No, the central banking is on its own and crypto's on its own.
Yeah, but
they
that's
base
the thing,
it on the gold
they...
standard of the dollar, but it doesn't have. It has very little to do with what the U.S. dollar does.
Well, the problem. Well, they're totally independent, and what is helpful is that You can turn crypto and into dollars cash. Back and forth, but it used to not be traceable, but now it's traceable.
Right. That's why the central banks want to get into crypto.
Yes. Well, another reason that I was going to get into this later, but
at that point it's just going to be like another
currency.
Yeah,
but it won't. I think the majority of the population will not let that happen.
No, because it won't be currency. Because this is why.
But they don't understand it. But you don't understand it.
I just explained it to you.
How you're going to.
The crypto is extremely dangerous. the central bank digital currency, CBDC, is extremely dangerous. It's different than crypto. It's a government version of crypto, and it's their way of controlling you completely. Once this becomes a
universal,
we're screwed. It's the elimination of cash.
We become like China.
There's no cash.
Nothing.
There's no privacy anymore. You are completely at the mercy of people who say, you did something wrong. We'll turn off your money.
Yep.
That's the final solution. That's the ultimate goal. Is exactly what just happened in Canada with the truckers.
Yeah.
They found people who donated to these people who were genuinely exercising their right to free speech and showing their genuine opinion and support for the truckers also, but the truckers were showing their opinion against a
tyrannical government,
a corrupt government. And this is fundamentally what the Western democracies are built upon. And so because the government is tyrannical and will stamp out people that they think are now terrorists, but they're not terrorists. It's just another change of words and another viewpoint that means it's basically we control you and it's not a terrorist situation. It's people exercising their right. Just because you're going against the government, they turn off the cash. And so what happens if CBDC, as they are calling it, comes to many places?
Right, if we're right here. If we were doing this,
it turns into
we're bad citizens. You go out to get fill up your car.
Yeah, your money is turned off because what it is, it becomes coupons. It's not money. It's not cash that everybody will take for anything. It's a coupon that's only good for a certain thing. This, you have $50 of gasoline credits this week. You can't use your other credits for food credits for gasoline.
Sort
you
of
can't
like the
use
Weight
your gasoline
Watchers of the
for
money
food.
World.
You're only allowed this much, and it'll be rationed. This is exactly what has happened in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is an island economy, and there was a practice run for a creation of a artificial revolution to usher in draconian fascist measures in this country of Sri Lanka.
I am hesitant to agree to that, and here's why. So I think Sri Lanka has an economy that's almost similar to Kenya. What I think, and just based on what I've seen in Nairobi, is the government comes into power and there's few people who have that power and they take money, take loans, take debt from whatever they take debt from. They're supposed to use this money for development, right? So build infrastructure, all the stuff. They don't do that.
Of course
right?
not. No.
They take that money and they just
buy planes, personal. Trains,
there,
and automobiles.
There you go,
and,
right? And that's why majority of the people in the country cannot get clean water, cannot get food, cannot get electricity, because this money that was supposed to help them is flying someone right. around the world, mm-hmm. right?
Well, that's
so people get to a point of frustration and they're like, we cannot take this anymore. Like, we cannot survive, right? Mm-hmm. And so you go to the streets and you start marching, and the government will probably try and put the military out to beat you people. And maybe they realize, okay, it's not working and it's getting really bad because people are very agitated. And that's how you overthrow the government, right? So it's not about someone trying to, I guess, install another government that's more draconian. Maybe that's just an effect of whoever comes in next. But in my opinion, I think like a country like Kenya needs a dictator, but a dictator who has a vision whereby you tell people that I don't want this, you know, nonsense anymore. We have to, I guess we can't have people in power misusing public funds, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you're putting everybody in line and you make an example out of a few people and people actually know that, okay, this person's serious. And then that way you can get development happening. But otherwise, No.
So you need a benevolent dictator with taste, like a Steve Jobs or somebody.
With taste, I like that.
I'd say that. Yeah.
Yeah, but that doesn't. The problem is that anyone you put in that position, right. Yeah. Look at any position anywhere. You just described our government. These people go in. Well, it used to be in a, you know, even 50 years ago, you went in the Kennedy area because you want, because you wanted to serve, right? Now you go in and people would, or even take it to the beginning of the 1776, whatever. Every one of those people would go home. They'd go to serve Franklin. All that era would go serve their country for a little while. They took the summer off to harvest, even though our government still does that. Even though Nancy Pelosi ain't shoveling anything.
Come on.
But no, what they do is so. They used to serve, and within a certain very small time frame, you go into public office now, you're there for life. Even if you're not, once you get out of your 4 years, you go to, I hate seeing China, but the majority of people that work for the government are now working in China for security things or whatever. So they go and they serve, they have the hard idea of their serving, but by the time they get out, all they want to do is make as much money as possible and leave. Do you know what I mean? They don't. Obama's the other one.
Right. Like, it's fine to want to make money, but I don't think government is the place to.
No, it is now. It used to not be. You'd serve like Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
You serve and then you go home back to your peanut farm. Nobody else does that anymore. Every one of the people that serve, Jen Psaki is now working for CNN. Jerome Adams is now a board member at Pfizer. You know, all these people that work in, and these are recent. I'm not talking, they're all working in some spin-off of the government.
Yes,
you know?
it's people are being rewarded for helping
bad
the
behavior.
Company and vice versa. Company rewards government people. Were you going to say something about
China?
I think 90% of Chinese want that too, want a better dictator.
Better dictator.
Yes, it has been thousands of years, and it's always some dictator, and then it goes on and on. It's never solved the problem. No. What happened is once there is a better dictator, then sometimes the days are better, but sometimes you just cannot assume that a person is like God or angel. And
that's why this checks
and you need to have a mechanism to prevent authority from stepping out of their boundaries.
When it comes to a dictatorship, there are no checks and balances because everybody that's in your cabinet is on your side. And if there's somebody trying to make
that's a good point.
There's somebody trying to make a Canada, perfect example. That's a democracy. Mm. What did he do when he felt threatened? He shut down their bank accounts. Mm-hmm. He made them uncomfortable and called them. People with unnecessary or unacceptable views.
Well, now this is where we get into what I was getting at with Sri Lanka, is that there are certain there are people who can make plans and who have the wherewithal and means and motive to follow through with them and make them work. Now, just like you or I would make a PowerPoint presentation or you're trying to schedule something for a business and you do some kind of long-range forecast where you do like the yearly and the two-year scenario and you've got different lines of materials that need to be brought in to build things and personnel and all kinds of budgets. This can be done on a worldwide scale. And there are ideas to implement a complete technocratic control grid utilizing modern technology and trackable money to make you a complete surveillance, an utterly complete surveillance state. And this happens by starting at the end and saying, well, this is where we want it to go at the end. How do we get there? And you work backwards. And the first step, well, it's already started to happen, is if you want one world government, then you have to make people want it. You can't force people into having one world government, because then they'll just eventually just bubble up and destroy it. You have to convince people psychologically to want something. You know, it's reverse psychology. You guys don't have kids, and I don't, but from what I understand about reverse psychology is, you know, you have to make somebody want something. So you have to get in there and work on their deep individual issues. So to reverse psychology a one world government, you need that to be a solution. So you find a problem that will cause that solution. The problem is total chaos in the world. We need someone to control this total chaos. One world government will do it for us. Thank God you're here. Oh, but first, how do you get to this chaos? Because the world is fine. The world is fine. Everybody gets along fine, honestly. You go around to your people, you look around, everything's fine. What you see on the news is the complete creation and influence of people continually pushing more chaos. So
I think with the Sri Lanka example, that I tend to disagree, and here's why.
Okay.
If you think about it from a business point of view, if a company is doing well, the CEO at that time has a different skill set, or is trying to encourage people to like grow, like let's look at growth opportunities, mm-hmm. right? But when the company's not doing well, you're tightening your belt and you're telling people like, we are not hiring no more, like we are cutting off low performance employees. Mm-hmm. So there's different skills that's needed at different times. And with Sri Lanka right now, in this whole situation of chaos that's going on, you suddenly need someone who is going to tell people, yes, we are going to limit the money that you can access because the country doesn't have money, right? We will have to, I guess, limit the number of hours you're outside because maybe there's people who are taking advantage of this chaos and they want to go and steal in other people's houses. And so you're telling people that, well, you can't be out past 6 because we have to set some sense of control, or have to bring back some sense of control. Hopefully, once that comes back, then people can get their freedom back.
Except,
and that's something that we can only tell when it happens, right? After a period of time. Otherwise, we're just hypothesizing.
Because your benevolent dictator that you give trust and
is going to give you it back when it's done.
And I will lay down these arms that you give me in this time of emergency. This is an emergency. And thank you for these arms.
Aren't we back outside after COVID?
No. When power...
Oh, yeah. What are you talking about?
But the population that isn't. They're still walking around wearing masks.
Where?
Yeah, there's a lot
everywhere.
Of people wearing
masks. Go to JP or Cambridge.
Well, but it's not mandatory anymore. At this point, I've been told if you want to, that's it.
Right, but they're what they're doing is every time they see someone that doesn't have a mask on, they're reliving that... Whatever it is.
Well, but that's self-inflicted now.
Yeah, but because there's a lot of people that want this. They want someone to come along with the solution. The solution for them is more shots and putting something over their face.
Yes, they want somebody to tell them
and
what to do.
And they want that all the time.
People like to be told what to do because it resolves them of thinking and of using their brain and of taking responsibility for their own personal actions.
If you want to get out of the prison, stop popping the pills that put you there.
And so the people who want
self-inflicted.
That
self-inflicted.
It's basically the fear that someone has, and
well,
it's their
but
own
that's
fear.
The thing. If the,
keep
if
your
the,
fear to yourself. Keep your fear
exactly.
to yourself, and do not spread it, and do not give it to me.
Exactly. But if the freedom's there, and I decide to still wear my mask,
I
or
should
still
do it.
Whatever, then that's up to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the government's given
but the
back
people,
the freedom.
But no, they're not. The government should have never taken it in the first place. And the people, at least in this country, and I would say the Western world in general, are too comfortable, and they were too trusting of their government. And that's the problem. You need to fight for freedom, because as soon as as you've seen in the last 2 years, it's very easy for them to go, no, you can't go anywhere. No, you can't go anywhere.
Yep.
You know how hard it is to get those back? We're still
yes.
trying to get them back.
Yeah.
They want to give kids a shot, and they want to put them back in masks in September, all around the country.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
No
LA
way.
Tried to do it.
Absolutely ridiculous. Now, look.
Yeah, huh?
I hadn't heard that. That just seems so ridiculous because we all know
right,
that there's
the
no
wave
danger.
Is coming.
There's
right.
no danger
the virus
from COVID
the,
to anyone.
The fear is
except
the virus.
The very old.
The fear is the virus.
The fear is, and it's the people who want to just stay
but
in fear. They
want
to live in fear.
It,
they
give it to
grew
them.
Up in fear.
Like, what is the problem? If
because
I want to give it
give
to them.
Give it to them. That's
no.
how we had lockdown, because
yes.
that was perceived as the solution, and people
yes.
sold it, and it wasn't.
It's
but
not
it's
the
not
solution.
Anymore. We can
yes,
go out
is.
Now.
No,
we can
you
go
can't.
Out now.
You can Ooh, always go out.
Listen to you. We can go out now.
We can. Yeah, no, you so, can always go out.
You're already saying we can go out now like we couldn't before, and we should have been never It should have never gotten to the point where we're now saying we can go out now.
Yeah. There's always that context. If it's taken away for a little period, it's
no,
fine.
It's never given back. We're still on 9/11. We are still in an emergent 9/11. The state of emergency is still going on. 20 years later. You may not know that, but you still have to take your shoes off every time you go to the airport. How many people have they caught? How many shoe bombers have they caught in 20 years?
Okay, it's but an that's inconvenience.
Not a one.
But like, people, get
it's
on
it's always
it.
An inconvenience no, until it affects you personally, and then yes. it's too late.
No, yes. but that's I'm getting problem. My shoes off,
no,
too.
No, no, no.
It doesn't bother
it's
me.
Not, I'm not talking about shoes. Uh-huh. It might be it'd be getting a shot.
Forcing
is that a
minor you to inject a chemical into your body.
Getting a shot. It's a minor inconvenience until 5 years down the line, you will find out that you can't have a baby.
Right.
Look
you
at that.
You have a choice.
What do you mean you have a choice?
You have a choice.
No, you don't.
You always have a choice.
No, you don't. Tell that to every one of my nurse friends that had to get the shot or lose their job.
But that's... Oh, lose their jobs. Okay, well.
Yeah, see, then you do have a choice.
That's a very large percentage of the American population who aren't in the elite and who aren't in a university. Even though the university people, they had to get the shot too. Every university around here had to get the shot. Tufts had prisons for people who tested positive for COVID yeah. with the lowest risk.
Yep.
Yeah, I know.
Tufts here, yeah. No, it was called it was these trailers over on the...
The COVID compound? What are they called?
It was on the tennis courts. Yeah, it's get COVID, go to jail.
Right.
Like when you couldn't see anybody, you couldn't see your friends. That's what makes everybody helpful.
Right.
That's what helps everything is getting
forward.
And
think of the age group. These are the people that have had the most... They've all been prescribed every kind of anything. These are the people that are in those rooms being isolated and segregated because of something that's not their fault that they're not going to even die from.
All right, question. So what are you advocating for? Because if someone wants it, right, and they get it, and you decide not, you don't want it, and you don't take it, can we just coexist?
Of course, but the important thing is that there is not
to them.
That is not a mandate.
That's the
The important thing is
but
that you are not forced
to... But I think it's on both sides, because the people who don't want it are also, like, screaming in everybody's face, like, you should not get it. And the people who want it are screaming to everyone's face, like, you should get it. I just think people need to keep quiet with their
well,
opinions.
That's what I mean,
that's
yeah. Keep your fear to yourself.
That's not freedom.
Oh.
Well, there is a problem that caught us all alert, more sensitive, because... It's like boiling a frog from cold
mm-hmm.
water
to
a boil. It's very mild. Today it could be just mass. Tomorrow it could be more. So that's how the tragedy of Shanghai lockdown happened. It's been locked down for 92 days.
I know.
And nobody gets out. And a lot of people commit suicide because
yes,
just staying
I saw
there.
The videos. Did
I saw
the
videos
of people
jumping.
Out
yes, it was disturbing. And also, a lot of people, because of the lockdown, they can't go to the hospital. The hospital won't admit any of the patients without
a test.
And there is a QR code, a
yep.
COVID pass
mm-hmm.
for everyone. So every 48 hours or 24 hours, you need to get a test. And yeah, that's
like being in prison. Why do you think solitary confinement is the worst thing you can do to a human?
Yeah.
Imagine
yeah.
having a billion people in a room like this with nobody else, or being able to look through that window and not being able to communicate for a disease with a 99% survival rate. 99.9. I just down. That drives people nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's torture.
It's a flu. It's a flu. There's no need to be worried about it.
They had this electrical ring or like a thing for
right.
a
yeah,
prisoner.
Yeah, yeah, like the thing for prison. Yeah.
Yes, they put that into those who need to be quarantined to prevent them from like going outside. Well,
that's where we're heading.
Yes.
No.
That's already happening. So.
Well, it's happening over there.
It is already happening. China has really strict zero COVID policy, so it
and
has
it's
to
failed
be zero.
Miserably.
So none of the disease matters. Heart
right.
disease, cancer, have like a surgery need
imagine
to do.
Imagine people who are
doesn't
pregnant.
Doesn't matter. Yes, some people getting pregnant, they're getting labor, but
and there's
then...
And you can't go to the hospital.
They can't go to the hospital.
Right. They have to pop the baby out. It's they're
in
going
the middle of the
backwards.
Road.
In
yes.
the middle of the road.
It, it,
do
it literally happened several months ago, and now people are just
and
tired.
They can do nothing about it.
Yes,
because
they're silent about it.
Because it's all tied onto their phone. If you're a dissident, they shut your stuff off.
Mm-hmm. If you have
yeah.
a, there's three colors of the QR code, the red one, the yellow one, the green one. Green one means pass. The red one means you're very dangerous and you need to be at home, and whenever you go, nobody will...
Yeah, they all know.
Yeah. Every store need to be... You need to show your QR code to every store, or even your bus, subway.
Yes, everything.
Exactly. Wow.
Except in your own house.
My mom, a couple days ago, trying to grab my birth certificate in that department, government department. Before she hopped on the bus, she had to show a QR code. So she haven't tested for days, so she had to do another one in order to get on the bus and to get on the department.
Are you going back?
Oh, no.
It's a minor inconvenience. Trade places with her.
Well, now, what happens when there's a complete digital surveillance society, when you have a COVID test where you can red, yellow, or green, and you have your money that you're allowed to spend on either bread or apples or gasoline, but not on peaches, you know, and you have a complete surveillance system that does not allow you to do what you want to do. You will not be living. It will be
existing.
It will be an existence in the service of what? You know, what is that ultimate decision? You know, what is that ultimate goal? It's to make keep people in pods in tiny little 100 square foot apartments.
Yeah, they're controllable.
You can't
keep them. They know exactly where they are.
Oh, well, before we go on, we've got half an hour left in this show. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. My show is every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m.
You heard about
this
Zimbabwe.
This is a special live studio talk, conversation. Happened in Zimbabwe?
Same thing happened in Zimbabwe. They had hyperinflation in the 80s when Robert Mugabe was elected to be the president. He was supposed to be. They just lost, Britain lost, separated, sort of like India and Britain when they gained their independence in the late 60s, early 70s. And Zimbabwe was a shining beacon of everything, democratic system. Mugabe gets voted in around the late 70s or early 80s. And within 18 months, I think it was 18 months or 36 months, 3 years or something, he bankrupted the government.
Whoa.
Centralized the farming, tried to get everybody to move into the cities, took over the farming. The people who had been farming there for centuries were pushed out if they were management. So the only people that were left to work the farms were the farm hands, and they didn't know how to manage the farms. He then tried to get most people to move into the cities, and anyone who was opposed to him, which were mostly rural. There's a lot of parallels between the U.S. and that era. The people who were against him, the opposition party, were mostly farmers and working class. The people in the cities for him were mostly laptop liberal types, and they were fine. So he takes over the farming industry, sort of what's happening in the Netherlands, actually.
I was just going to say.
He takes over the farming because he can do it better, more efficiently, and with ease. Moves all the people that he can into the cities against their will, and then knocks down. I was telling my husband, it's like having Arlington knocked down, and Boston is the seat of power. So now everybody has to move to Boston. There's there are videos of him knocking down suburban property so he can get everybody to come to the city. A lot of people go farther out beyond the farms, and they subsistence. Living
in
he prints a lot of money because he's like, no, we're going to get everybody into the city, we're going to do this, and you'll all be happy, you will own nothing and you'll be happy.
Well, okay, we'll get to that too. Yeah,
3 months, three years later, he's got three mansions, he's got this, and he keeps printing more and more money. And at one point, I was watching this video this morning, he's at a $9 million, which is the same, they're all the same. This one is 1 million. And then a couple months later, this is 2 million. This is 3 million. And it would the same thing about buying a loaf of bread. It took 9 million of their currency to buy a loaf of bread.
Instead of 10.
Yes, no, exactly.
I think it was different. What he did was that he chased the white people away, the British.
Right, but they all...
They were the management people.
Yes, but they also were the ones that knew how to run things.
That's
right. And so it's like knocking on the cockpit.
He didn't tell them to go into the city. He didn't tell the rural farmers to go into the city. What he did was he blocked any funding that could come into Zimbabwe. Because remember,
right.
Zimbabwe has just come from colonization.
Right.
And British is what's literally holding this. The Britons right. are the ones holding this country together.
Yep.
And he chases them out. So there right. isn't any more funding coming in. And that's why he started printing. But he's printing and not pegging it on anything. And
right.
that's how
exactly.
the
bank.
But I think where you said that he told people to go into cities, that was.
No,
inaccurate.
He forced them to go to the city.
No.
Yeah. He knocked down their. There's a video. I'll even show the video. But he tried to get people to go into the city because he felt that he could control them more if he controlled the means of production. You know
no,
what I mean?
No. The thing with Mugabe is that he did not want white people at all.
Right, but
so
I understand
not
that.
About, it was not about telling people to go into the cities because people still kept their farms. Whoever
right.
wanted to farm
oh,
could
yeah.
farm.
Right, right.
But if you can't get fertilizers, then you don't right. have good crop, then now it's your harvest is terrible and you can't feed your
right.
your population.
But I also think that he also had a vision and he basically stoked the fear to get these people to get the white people off their land. But the problem is that the white people were also the ones managing it for centuries. You don't just go in. I mean, and I'm sure there are different levels of management. But say you're on a cow farm and you've got 50 head of cattle and you've been doing this for 30 years or whatever. You have a relationship with everybody around you, black, white, and otherwise. You kill the guy that's running the show, all of a sudden your bookkeeper is gone. The one who pays all the bills is gone. The one who does the staffing and does all that stuff. What happened is they got rid of the person that ran it instead of transferring the power over a period of time. And I'm sure there were people that could have done that, but they did it in such a brutal
Exactly.
Small amount
so
of time.
The problem there was not controlling people. The problem was nationalism. That was the problem.
Right, and he stoked that though. He wanted the poor people, wanted the less fortunate to get rid of the people that were he said that were in their way for them to have power, to get more of the power.
Mm-mm. Okay, I want to wrap
no?
up with Mugabe.
No, you don't. He was a dangerous man.
Yeah, I know. He's dead. So, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So good. Good riddance. Well, continuing on the benevolent dictator idea, people thought he was a good guy. He's not. Now, toward the end of the show here, we'll end at 8, and I want to talk about the World Economic Forum, which a lot of people have maybe heard about, but this is an existing organization, just like the Council on Foreign Relations, and the World Economic Forum is a non-governmental organization started in around 1970 by this guy Klaus Schwab, who was very well supposedly educated. He was mentored by Henry Kissinger, who is still alive. Can you believe this war criminal is still alive? God.
He's a vampire.
When is he going to die? He's going to go to hell. So this guy, they started it together because Kissinger came out of the same people who were supporting Germany's Nazis' rise to power. The people who were supporting the Nazis were people like Brown Brothers Harriman, the investment company in New York, and who was also involved with Prescott Bush, who was the grandfather of George W. Bush and the father of George H.W. Bush. Now, there was a lot of funding from United States companies to the Nazis, and they had similar interests, which were eugenic in nature. There were eugenics laws on the books in this country, even in the United States, if you were allowed to sterilize somebody from having kids if they were seen to be mentally unfit. So that was still happening in the United States in 1950s. That was the idea of some of these people who were funding the Nazis, and Henry Kissinger came out of that direction. He was a professor at Harvard and started working for the government. And Nixon was Prescott Bush's pick. You know, there's these people behind the scenes. Presidents are not elected; they are selected. And there was Kennedys versus the Bushes, kind of is how I see it. And so Prescott Bush had Nixon as his man, Joe Kennedy had JFK as his man. So they were trying to get something going on a power control system. But Henry Kissinger started the World Economic Forum with Klaus Schwab to perpetuate this idea. And some of their ideas, the more you read about them, are extraordinarily anti-human and make absolutely no sense. For example, you've probably heard, we just talked about it, own nothing and be happy. That's the Agenda 2030, which is on the record as being in collaboration with the United Nations. There was a secretary at the United Nations said, and today we just had word that the UN and Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum have signed a contract to accelerate the 2030 agenda, Agenda 2030. And part of that Agenda 2030 is introducing CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, basically ruining the money supply so that you'll want to have these CBDCs, making the food be very controlled and full of chemicals to make you unable to resist any kind of draconian measures. So they get rid of quality food and only replace it with poisonous food. Eventually ending to a one world technocratic government to have a, like I said earlier, a prepared solution, and then they lead you there through incremental nudging. They push you a little bit, they'll push you two steps back, you walk one step forward. Push you two steps back again, you'll walk one step forward. Slowly, you're going to be pushed away into the direction that they want.
Right into the pot.
Right into the pot of the boiling frog.
Yeah.
So the point here is that this organization, the World Economic Forum, has been around for 50 years. And there are people who are graduates of the World Economic Young Leaders Program who are now in major positions of power around the world. They subscribe to the same kind of ideas of eugenics and minimizing the world population and ownership of things that does the people I was just describing. Some of these people are the New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern. She instituted the strictest lockdowns in the world in New Zealand. You couldn't even smoke a cigarette on the street. She also just this week instituted a tax on farmers for cow burps.
I don't mind
it. It's the same thing as for Netherlands.
It's good for me.
But no, wait, listen. It's the she wants to tax the farmers for the cow burps. Why would you tax a farmer for cow burps? Because you will remove the farmers from the land. If they can't afford to stay on the land, they will leave the land, leaving that land open for taking over by the government. Another guy, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, he's a part of the World Economic Forum. He went to speak in the European Parliament, and 80% of the entire parliament left the building. They did not want to see this guy talk because of the way he was aggressively against humanist people in his country and made lockdowns happen. Another one, and also this guy, Klaus Schwab, has bragged that they have half of the Parliament of Canada as part of the World Economic Forum. So also the Canadian Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, Chrystia Freeland, she's also a member of the World Economic Forum. The French Prime Minister Macron, he is a member of the World Economic Forum, and so is the U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. Remember, he ran for president. He was allowed to run for president.
I call him Pete Butt Plug It In,
because he was a part of the. He was allowed to run because perhaps he could win, or he could make his influence. He would be introduced to the public in this way, and then make his reputation in the future to be able to possibly be a rational choice to be a government operative. But you know, he gets in there. What's he going to do? He in a way, he's a perfect guy because he's in the army. He's gay. He's got kids and married, and it's bulletproof, right? But that's the way these nefarious underground situations, organizations work. You get somebody who's just perfect and just shiny and just right.
But he's
not
perfect.
And you throw in the little Trojan horse marble. It's a beautiful gift, and you're giving it to them, and then but deep inside is the destruction. He's not, well, to some
the 21st century
ideas,
perfect.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. And so another guy who's now running for Prime Minister in the UK is Rishi Sunak.
Oh,
he was the former Prime Minister, Finance Minister of the UK, and he is extremely gung-ho about CBDCs. He is ready for CBDCs, and he can't wait to turn your money off if you do or say something that supposedly people don't like. So this guy is definitely a danger to society. He's, you know, all these people I've mentioned are dangers to society because their influence is not to their people, their relevance is not to the country, but to the people who are pulling their strings behind. So part of the plans are that these things won't. Well, the reason I say that is, well, look, I'll play the, if you want, I can play a clip of this guy who's,
no, we
who's
all
just
know
a
who
psychopath. This other guy,
don't you know who he is?
Yuval Noah Harari.
Harari,
is just a
I love
psychopath.
That guy.
He's so
love
gross.
Him.
Now listen to what he says.
This
love
is
this
what
guy.
Convinces people to accept, to legitimize.
He says COVID is
total
what
accepts biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic. We need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin.
What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
This guy's an advisor to Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum.
Not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition? Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction.
They want to be God.
We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life. I know that in recent years...
No, I'm going to stop it because it goes on, but what kind of psychopath is this guy? You know, I mean, he's what he's doing is, it's a very coercive method of speaking. Now, the manner in which he was speaking was speaking in the future tense, in a way to make you think that this has already happened and that it's inevitable. And that's the tone of voice that can be coercive when you don't even know it. And because he sounds kind of aggressive and powerful, you're going to be like, oh, okay, I guess that's it. But then in the future, you turn into Ready Player One. You remember that movie and that book?
Great soundtrack.
Ready Player One, where people are in virtual reality all the time.
The metaverse.
They live in a trailer, like a Winnebago that's stacked on top of each other, hundreds of feet high. And they hardly have food and basically living in slums. These people, the World Economic Forum people, Yuval Noah Harari, are freaking psychopaths who care nothing about anybody and have lost any sense of soul to themselves.
Well, we're useless eaters.
That's what they say, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, question. I love when you said, this is the attitude. Once again, I don't mind. You said they outlawed smoking in
New Zealand.
New Zealand. And you said, I don't mind. That is the attitude that's the problem.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't mind because it doesn't affect me. But you're infringing. It's almost like you're so comfortable in your perception of yourself that it's okay. That person wants to smoke outside. You don't want them to. We're going to stop him from doing it because your discomfort is more important than his. It's comfort. It's like, if my comfort is not affected, then it's okay.
It's comfort. It's help.
Yes, but it's also a level of comfort.
But they want to kill me too.
No, they don't want to kill you. They don't. No, the thing is that, see, you think they want to kill you.
No, but they say that the
secondhand smoke is a debunked.
What do you mean it's
debunked? Doctor, are you familiar with secondhand smoke?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the number one cause of death in China is?
No, I have no idea.
It's respiratory distress. all age groups, all mortality. Who has the highest mask compliance in the world?
But in China, they also do smoke a lot. At least,
and they also have coal and power plants. But this is kids and adults. It's all cause mortality for that age. Respiratory ailments from 8 to 80-year-olds. Okay, so but that beside the point. The secondhand smoke thing was debunked. Okay, so but what I'm trying to get is, and I think you're a wonderful person, but it was that elevated attitude. How long have you been in this country?
3 years.
Oh, you're already. Years. She's already
no,
drunk the Kool-Aid.
The thing. But no, you,
but
I don't
what
just
you said.
Like
no, no, no. But what you said is smoking. I wrote it down. Smoking in public. It's okay if they don't smoke.
I
do
understand what
smoke.
I mean.
Like they can have their space to
right.
smoke, but don't smoke
but
everywhere.
But
because,
yeah,
like,
but the first thing you. But the first thing you
smoking.
Said is that's okay with me because my comfort is important. It's
but
not
it
about
is
it.
Important.
Exactly, but it's just as important for that person to be able to smoke. Do you understand what I mean? That's their personal choice, just like your personal choice is not to smoke. But what I'm questioning or what I'm trying to point out to you is the attitude that says they outlawed smoking. Good. That was your first saying,
mm-hmm.
which is fine,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that is the attitude that
but
is pervasive of what we're in now.
Yes.
There's a group of people that don't mind if I slap my 5-year-old with a mask on. They say good. You know what I understand? That you understand the parallel I'm trying to make? There are people that think that this is okay. Why? For whatever reason they think it's okay. There are other
Wait,
people
so
who don't
your,
think
what
it's
your,
okay.
What is your solution to this? So then we just let whoever
yeah.
wants to smoke smoke and whoever
yes,
doesn't.
Yes, that's
wanna...
what the solution is. If you don't want to smoke, you don't smoke. But those people, the smokers, aren't coming up to you and shoving a cigarette in your face.
No, but they're smoking next to me, and then
yes, and you're leaving.
Yeah.
You're going somewhere else. It's not like they're blowing the smoke in your face.
But don't you see that my freedom is also being bothered there? Like the fact that I have to leave a space that I wasn't.
But
just
that's
so
a,
that
it's also a trade-off.
Exactly.
It's like if you're at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a smoking deck, you go somewhere out where they're not smoking, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That the attitude is, and this is what I'm getting at, not
oh,
the
okay,
necessary,
okay,
that
okay.
it's
not
the attitude
the,
behind
oh,
it.
Okay,
I have a mask on.
Uh-huh.
I want you to wear a mask. Why? Because I don't know why.
I'm
Same
afraid.
Same thing with smoking, or whatever, it doesn't really matter. It's for your health,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The person that's not wearing a mask isn't coming up to you and saying, You need to wear a mask. But the person that you, the healthy person in this case, I'm trying to pass. You, the healthy person in this case, doesn't mind that person is allowed to smoke because that's your comfort. The person with the mask on, even though he has as much rights as you do to smoke in wherever space he is. And usually it works itself out, which was the solution. You're at a party. One end of the house is smoking.
No,
the other end of the house isn't.
What?
That's the solution. When it comes to the mask thing, your initial attitude about, good, it's good for me that they don't smoke. That's what the problem is. The people that wear the mask think that everybody else should wear the mask, too.
Yes. And the people who are the most emotional about something are the loudest and the first to speak up, whereas the people who are more... like
independent
intellectual will and logical will try to see how things are going and then try to evaluate things to make a more genuine kind of reason. So if you act instantly with emotion, then it always comes from the ego. It comes from the inside of your self-protection. But if you that's
step
also
back,
part. That's also something.
Breath.
Every 20 years, the new generation has to learn about free speech and allowing people to do what they want to do because it's not a natural thing. It has to be learned because your natural instinct is to say, "No, shut up! Don't say that. That makes me uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable."
Comfort.
But what you have to be, you have to be able to be uncomfortable. It's a point of growth. The cutting edge of being of growth and learning is uncomfortableness. So you have to allow the people to say what they want to say. And even now, you know, it's been almost 2 hours here. People turn off the radio if they don't want to hear me say these things, if they want to hear us talk. So, but we still have the absolute right and imperative to say exactly what we're trying to say. So that's the same thing with forcing someone to not smoke outside anywhere. And it's also the same thing as forcing someone to wear a mask for
somebody
emotional
else.
Reasons. For my, you do what I want you to do.
I think the mask and the smoking thing, two separate things. Because
no, they're all about health. It's your option whether or not you want to do it.
No, no, no. But they fix, right? Like, you smoke because for whatever reason, and we know that smoking has like respiratory,
right?
It causes diseases. But I don't want it, right?
Right.
And so if you can smoke outside, I mean, we can't be sitting here and you pull off a cigarette and start smoking, like.
Right, but I also, if I were a smoker, I wouldn't come out and blow it in your face, and that's the difference. Someone who's wearing a mask wants you to wear a mask too. It's for my health, and my health is more important, or just, no, my health is more important than yours. So I insist that you wear a mask.
No, but that's the difference, because like with smoking, like I just don't want you to smoke around me. So you want to
right,
smoke,
but the I'm going back to the attitude. It has nothing to do about health. It has to do with you saying that I feel good. He shouldn't smoke in my presence. You know what I mean? That's the premise.
No, but you wearing a mask does not, at least should not affect me, right?
Right, but the people that want you to wear a mask are the same people. Good, I feel good that he doesn't smoke. Good, you should wear a mask because I feel uncomfortable with you not wearing one. I feel uncomfortable when you're smoking.
Okay, I think then, because I have different opinions on both, like the smoking thing, I'm like, don't smoke next to me. But mask, right. If you don't wear it, I'm like, oh, that's fine. Like, it's up to you. So because I have different views
no. What
on
I'm
them,
basically saying
I'm having a hard time bringing that
right.
attitude, opinion together.
Right.
No, go ahead.
No, but anyway, no, but it's the attitude. It's exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The mask part is the problem. The person that wants you to wear a mask wants you to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. You may, even if you say, okay, I don't really want to wear one. Mm-hmm. They want you to wear one. It's like if I was a smoking company, I would want you to smoke. Why? I know it's bad for you, but I want you to be on my side. I want you to be a smoker. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the mask. I want you to comply because it makes me feel uncomfortable if you're not wearing yours.
I'm not wearing mine either.
I'm wearing the mask. Uh-huh. I want you to
wear
a mask.
One as well.
No matter what.
If you've got
I'm
the
smoking,
fear.
I want you to smoke.
Yeah.
It's same your, idea. It's a medical intervention. I want you to do it. Why? Not because it's the same thing with somebody quit smoking and you go, oh, I used to smoke cigarettes. That makes them feel less just for you saying that. Or the person who quit smoking and you're still smoking and they're like, oh, I quit a couple of years ago. And they give you the like deprecating, I'm superior because I quit and you're still doing it. It's the same mindset. I need you to do what I'm doing so I feel less comfortable or less uncomfortable. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, you assuage my fear. You make me feel better.
Yeah, need to do what I'm doing so I feel good about myself.
Yes, it's
isn't
it's,
it the same as pronoun stuff?
Like yes,
from
exactly.
now on, I will yep. only go by the pronouns,
yes.
Your Highness.
Yep.
I will not accept anything else.
Yes, that's exactly it. Yep. And
yeah.
if you don't acknowledge my Z and whatever, you are
me.
Disrespecting me.
Well, to a degree, it's similar in the psychological effect, but the functional effect is a little different, I think, with pronouns because some people are legitimately trans. So, but for telling somebody to do something because I'm afraid of you, so you have to make me feel less afraid. Is exactly where we started this whole thing.
Exactly, good full circle.
We started at the beginning by saying that you have to do something for me, so that my fear of COVID or of
monkeypox.
Monkeypox. By the way, monkeypox is not dangerous. It's a joke. That's even the name is a joke. Oh my God!
They were supposed to change it.
So we started at the beginning here with the fear. Is forcing someone else to do what you want to assuage your own fear, but you have to deal with your own fear. You have to take your be aware of your fear. And the thing that I learned in 10 years of therapy, it's basically the very end. My therapist just wrote a little thing down on the card. Here you go. Remember this. You're cured. No, I didn't say that.
Awesome.
But that's what therapists do sometimes. They're like, okay, we're gonna fire you. You're cured. It's pause, breathe, and accept your feelings. And once you accept those feelings, you move into a place of awareness, and then you can work on them yourself and not make other people solve your own problems. And those Twinkies aren't going to solve your problems, and that weed and that wine isn't going to solve your own problems. All those things are great. I love them all. but you're not going to be able to solve them that way. Okay. Thank you for listening. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. My show is on every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. this summer. We'll see you again next week. Thank you very much for listening. Excellent music show up next.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much.